This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Hollywood is creeping eastward more frequently, and Cincinnati is welcoming its role as a new tinsel town. In recent years, we've seen large movies like the John Travolta vehicle, Gotti.
Let me tell you something. New York is the greatest city in the world, my city. I was a kid in these streets, and I made it to the top.
I made my bones doing a piece of work for Don Carlo Gambino. Like that, I became a made man.
The Old Man and the Gun, starring Robert Redford.
Well, let's take this place. Say it was a bank, and instead of that counter up there, that was really a teller's window, and you just walk in real calm. So you walk right up, look her in the eye, and you say, ma'am, this is a robbery. And you show her the gun like this, and you say, I wouldn't want you to get hurt. Because I like you. I like you a lot. So don't go breaking my heart now, okay?
And the Miles Davis biopic, Miles Ahead.
Somebody stole my tape.
What?
You call him right now, tell him you're coming over.
I can't take y'all over there, man. He'll kill me.
You don't do what I say. I'm gonna kill you. It takes a long time to be able to play like yourself.
And those are just a few. The movie Dry Run is now filming here, too. So what's bringing all this cinematic action to Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Dayton? I spoke earlier today with the executive directors of the Cincinnati and Dayton Film Commissions. Kristen Schlottman is the executive director of the Cincinnati Film Commission. She joins us in the studio. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
And on the phone is the Dayton Film Commission executive director, Lisa Grigsby. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Kristen, let's start with you. It's been quite a run for the Film Commission in Cincinnati over the last few years. What's drawing these people here?
Well, first of all, incentives are driving the business. And once the state of Ohio adopted motion picture incentives, we were off to the races. And in its first 2 years of the program, we were offering $10 million a year for a total of $20 million for a biennial budget. And Cincinnati was able to see $1.20 coming back on every dollar we invested in this program. Because movies, you know, they want to go on location. If they can't shoot in New York City, we realized we look a lot like a period New York, and we went after those projects that we knew were suitable for the region.
Is that the case that, as you see it too, Lisa?
Absolutely. The incentives are what bring them here. And, you know, from Dayton's perspective, we are just really lucky that we've been able to kind of tag on what Cincinnati has done so successfully.
Well, let's keep talking about the economics of it then, because there's occasionally debate over whether these state tax incentives for filmmaking are worth the investment of the taxpayers. What are your arguments in support of it?
It's a great question to ask, because you do see both arguments. But once you're able to look at the direct impact, and what's so great about Ohio's program is that we require an outside audit before you get any tax credit back. And Ohio is only going to rebate on the expenditures that they find good business for the state of Ohio. So there's no formula figuring this out. There's no crazy math problem. What they're seeing is the direct impact that's going directly into taxpayers' coffers, directly into employment taxes, directly into the housing, the transportation, and all of these things included. And those are what Ohio finds to be good business. So we have a list of eligible expenditures that we think are appropriate, and that's when we give back. So if you look at the infancy of the program, when we were at $10 million a year, we saw our $1.20 coming back. When we took it to $20 million a year, we saw $2.10 coming back. Most recently, we've been at $40 million a year, and now we're showing $3.68 coming back into the economy. That's Cincinnati's economy on this program. So these are direct numbers that show a return on investment. And I believe that's why it's been an incredibly bipartisan issue for the state of Ohio. I believe that's why they've grown it thoughtfully. They never came too fast out of the gate like some states like Michigan or, you know, places that quickly had incentives and then got rid of them because they couldn't keep up with the supply and demand. We're growing it in a very thoughtful way, as Ohio does. And even though we were the 42nd state to adopt motion picture incentives, we are one of the strongest in the world because we have studied what works and doesn't. doesn't work across the world.
And how do you measure those returns? When we might see some figures in a news report that says $50 million generated over the last couple of years because of the film industry that's come to town. How are those numbers tabulated?
Those are done by for Cincinnati, UC Economics Center does a public records request from the state of Ohio and looks directly at the books of these motion pictures. So we can see exactly how much money is going into our economy. We don't rebate on per diems because we don't know that you're spending that money here in Cincinnati or you're sending it back home, you know, to where you are from or something. So we don't do anything where we have to guess. We look at the direct numbers from the outside auditor.
Lisa, talk about some of the, I guess, lobbying work you have to do at the legislature in order to keep these incentives either present or growing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was the very beginning of Film Dayton was back in 2008 when we were trying to help lobby, you know, for the very first incentive and just make people aware. And it's really an education process because most of our legislators don't exactly understand what's going on with these rebates. So it's going in and it's showing them the numbers that Kristen shared there with you and just making them understand that it truly is business back. It's taking in, you know, some testimonials from our local businesses. You know, on a recent film up here, Old Man and the Gun, we had a dry cleaner send me a note and thank us for making his month. You know, he said, I got $12,000 worth of dry cleaning business in 2 days. That's, you know, made my entire month. So being able to take true information from our local businesses back to our legislators and make them understand, they get it.
And there's no question that some of the small businesses that have been featured as scenery or have been able to provide some type of product for the film, that they are creating lasting memories. And that's all very exciting as well. And Kristen, for your lobbying efforts, you're dealing with two states, maybe sometimes three states when these films are coming to town. If you have one of those situations where the film is shooting on both sides of the river, do you have to negotiate tax incentives from both Ohio and Kentucky?
Again, it's just a game of communication. It's making sure that they're aware of how both programs work for both states. We are very knowledgeable about both programs and help draft both language. So it's just educating the filmmaker on what advantages there are in both states and then really finding the locations that support which side they want to go on. It's great to be a regional film commission. We were one of the first film commissions in the world to cross state lines, and we were one of the first set up as a 501c3. And now you see many, many film commissions modeled after ours. But regionalism is what makes us strong here in Greater Cincinnati.
So you have to do your lobbying efforts in Columbus and in Frankfort then?
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it, the river it divides us, yet it unites us. And it gives us one more program and one more tool to share with the industry that's here geographically.
Is one of the states more actively engaged than the other, or is one of the states more lucrative for filmmakers to come to?
They're different. I would say Ohio is a bit more mature in the program and mature in the process. Kentucky was later to the game. And Ohio has a transferable tax credit or a rebate, and Kentucky's right now is non-transferable. So it's really dependent upon the filmmaker and what is more valuable to them getting the most value up on the screen.
So Cincinnati and Dayton also aren't very far from each other. Lisa, how do your two film commissions interact, if ever?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, you know, Kristen has taken the lead. They've been there, you know, in Cincinnati for so much more. So we have looked at them as kind of a mentor to us and tried to follow in their footsteps. And what has really helped us is because Cincinnati has brought so many successful movies through. So sometimes, you know, when Cincinnati is kind of full, we get those very smaller movies that come up to town. You know, we're not ready for the huge movies that Cincinnati has been doing. You know, we're perfect in that $3 to $5 million range for movies to come here. That's what we can handle at this point. And I think as far as the crew going, you know, it's a lot of the same crew base that may live in Dayton and work in Cincinnati or, you know, live there. So I think it's been a great learning curve for us to kind of watch what they do and start duplicating it and being lucky enough to get some of the smaller pieces that come up here. Or as I kind of say, you know, every now and then we get some benefit from those Cincinnati movies without them actually filming here.
Well, let's talk about some of those big movies. Kristen, last month you were at the Sundance Film Festival, and that's because the Ted Bundy biopic, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, was out there. It stars Hollywood heartthrob Zac Efron as the notorious serial killer. Looks like things turned out well for the picture out there?
Absolutely. I think it sold for close to $9 million out there. And it really gave us a platform to talk about what it's like shooting in the region. The filmmakers had an excellent experience. And this was one of those unique situations where they mostly settled on the northern Kentucky side of the river and only came across the river for certain locations that they couldn't find over there. So they used the entire Kentucky incentive program. And, I mean, it was incredible. You look at a movie like that that is period from the 70s, and we're matching Denver, Colorado, and we're matching Utah and places out west, and then we have to find Florida. Now, to find all of that in northern Kentucky seems impossible, but with the magic of movie making now and the ability to CGI, I will tell you, at that premiere at Sundance, I was laughing because I'm looking at Main Stross, but I see these mountaintops, snow-covered mountaintops in the back, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. And the locations looked absolutely believable, and it was really, really exciting to see northern Kentucky up on the big screen.
It probably helps that we tend to have weather from all three of those states in the span of just a week.
Or even the span of a day, let's be honest.
So extremely wicked shot all over town, like you said, primarily in northern Kentucky, though. And on social media, there was certainly like a growing Zac Efron watch. You know, there were little viral clips going around of him running down Main Street in Covington. People were looking for him all over the city. I was in a play at Falcon Theater in Newport at the time, and our dressing room was abuzz with this rumor that he was staying at the Airbnb that was next door. So when you have an area like ours that's not fully accustomed to these big stars kind of just roaming freely around when they're not shooting or when they are shooting, what type of accommodations do you have to make, not only for their comfort, but for their safety?
Well, I feel like, you know, we're a few years into this, and we have this great Midwestern etiquette, and we're very welcoming, and we're not invasive or intrusive. And what I've found is that most of the people and the stars that are visiting the area find it incredibly safe and incredibly kind. And they're somewhat shocked by that, but then they're really pleased. And every single major motion picture that has come to Greater Cincinnati to shoot a film in the last 8 years has come back for a second or third. If they didn't feel that same sort of etiquette and welcoming, they wouldn't do that. So I am very proud of this area and how we sort of behave around stars like this. You know, the Zac Efron effect is unique, and that was something that we weren't used to experiencing. But he was certainly gracious to everyone and was not afraid to be seen in and around town. And just as, you know, right now in town, we have the Mark Ruffalo and Anne Hathaway movie, and they're finding great places to visit in our city as well, and people are just welcoming them.
And that movie's called Dry Run?
That movie is called Dry Run.
And Lisa, is all that true for you as well? I know The Old Man and the Gun, a lot of those stars were staying in the Dayton area. I think I read an article about that.
Yeah, they stayed up here for a couple of days, and I mean, it was amazing to watch. The blocks around the set were just filled with people that were, you know, hoping to catch a glimpse of Robert Redford or Danny Glover or Tom Waits. And yet, in the same way that Kristen just said that, they were so polite about it. You know, they were all standing there. Everyone had their cameras out. Nobody rushed them. They just took pictures from afar and were so excited by it. You know, they were in a local restaurant for dinner one night, and, you know, of course, that made the news and the buzz around here. But the restaurant even said, you know, a couple people asked them for pictures. They were great about it. But most people just gave them their space and were just excited to be in the room with them.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Today, we're talking movies in Cincinnati and Dayton with the executive director of the Cincinnati Film Commission, Christian Schlottman, and the executive director of the Dayton Film Commission, Lisa Grigsby. So let's talk a little more about The Old Man and the Gun. Okay, so that was based on a magazine article about a real-life bank robber that also filmed on both sides of the river. That movie brought legends Robert Redford, Sissy Spacek to town, along with other big-time stars. I remember when Robert Redford was on set robbing what we know regularly as the Citizens Bank on Madison Avenue in downtown Covington. There were like 200 people standing around trying to get a glimpse. I even recorded some video of this. It was so cool. Do we expect that excitement to continue around here?
Absolutely.
So you don't think that we'll ever just kind of become blasé about it?
No. Well, first of all, let me tell you how Old Man and the Gun even found Cincinnati as a potential location. We were doing a film called The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and we were working with the production designer on that film, who said to me after scouting for several weeks at a time, you know, I have some friends that are getting ready to get off the ground on another film project, and you have a lot of the locations that they're looking for. You guys have been incredible service us and providers to us, and would you be interested in scouting for them? So she got me the script, and we started reading it, and it was 1970s bank robber story. And I thought, oh my gosh, we have plenty of banks that still need updating in the region. And that's how that film actually came to fruition for the region. And we got to a point where we ran out of banks, and we need to call our neighbors like Lisa and say, hey, do you have a main bank that also fits this type of description? So that's how that relationship from the killing of the sacred deer and that word of mouth is what generated that project for the area. But to be able to say that Robert Redford had his last acting job here in our region is really incredible. And had I not been part of the film commission, I would have been out on that street right there with you, just making sure, because that's going to be a moment we'll have forever.
I wanted to ask you about that because it was reported that that may be Robert Redford's final performance in a career that dates back 60 years. And so that was shot here. What does that mean for this region and its film efforts?
Well, I just think to have legends like that come here and have a great experience, that is certainly raising the bar when other filmmakers look at what kind of product is coming out of this region and what kind of quality of work that you can produce while here, and seeing that it worked for Robert Redford and Sissy Spacek and Tom Waits and Danny Glover, and, you know, and hearing their experience at the Toronto International Film Festival about shooting here and being able to celebrate that with them, that takes this region to another market. That takes it to another level. You ask if I think it's slowing down. I think it's just picking up. We're at $40 million a year for state tax credits. Some states are uncapped. Some are more at $100 million. As we enhance this program, we are going to be a world-class destination for all things production. And I think you're going to start seeing Netflix here doing an entire series, Amazon here doing an entire series, and working closely with Dayton and Northern Kentucky to make these things as resourceful as possible in the region. And I feel like this is just the beginning.
That was one of my questions for you. When are we going to see a series shoot here? How far off do you think we are?
A couple months.
Really?
Yes.
So I mean, you must have some news that you can't share right now.
Of course we can't share yet, but we are very, very busy in working with several series right now, and it's just making sure that the timelines fit with the time of year that they need for weather, which is always interesting here. But no, we're working with three different series right now, and we're really excited about all of them, and hopefully we'll have very good news to share with everyone soon.
Are they period pieces? Because that seems to be kind of a trend that you're able to replicate certain eras. And
one is contemporary, one is period, and one is also period, but not Ohio-based. It's going to be a different state altogether.
And Lisa, I want to circle back and make sure that you get to weigh in on this, because when you are seeing a film shoot in the Dayton area and everyone's excited and maybe asking for pictures at the restaurant, do you expect that excitement to last?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's continued. By having the old man and the gun here, I think what it did for Dayton is make people really realize, you know, we've watched Cincinnati, we've watched Cleveland really succeed. This is our first really big moment in film, and it's gotten so many more people interested. It's helped people send locations to us for our database so we can grow that, so that we are more prepared for the next set of films to come. You know, we've got tons of people now really interested and excited about it. You know, every time we put up an extra casting, I mean, people are all over that. So yeah, it certainly has brought that excitement and the realism that we really can be a town that films are made in.
And maybe series too. Back to the series real quick. Are there any big stars attached to these things?
All of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even believe we're scouting them right now. It's so incredibly exciting. In fact, one is here right now, so I'll be with them this afternoon. But
so if we follow you out of the parking garage, you'll understand why.
I'm excited. You will be excited as well. And honestly, these series, these films, these projects, our region, this is such an incredible time. So many years in our arts and history culture in Greater Cincinnati has talked about the opera, has talked about the symphony, has talked about the ballet. To be part of that fabric, to have people talking about film, and to have people seeing exactly where we're heading in this direction and be able to change that for Cincinnati is a truly exciting time.
How does the whole thing start exactly? You talked about building relationships with some of these folks, but what's the first thing that happens when a major motion picture is looking around? I mean, does Zac Efron pick up the phone and call you?
It really depends on the project. There's not one formula to this business. There are times when you see and read things in the trades that are in development. development and you say, you know what, I don't even know if they're thinking about our region. Let me reach out to them and let them know what's available. Other times it's word of mouth. In the case of Dry Run, the director, Todd Haynes, and along with Killer Films, had such an amazing experience here on Carol. This will be Killer Films' fifth film here in Greater Cincinnati and Todd Haynes' second major motion picture directing here. So it's that word of mouth and those kind of relationships, because then, you know, Todd might be at Cannes and he says, you know what, we did that in Cincinnati, you could too. And that's how we were able to get The Killing of the Sacred Deer here, which then led to The Old Man and a Gun.
Wow. I've been to LA many times. I love LA. One thing that you notice that's different about their billboards out there is that it seems to be the industry talking to the industry. It's a lot of advertising within the industry about why they're better than whatever series is running out there. What type of marketing are you doing, if any, within the business? How do you introduce yourselves to people who may not know about Cincinnati or Dayton?
There's many opportunities. What we have found lately is that when we have more than one major motion picture premiering or headline in a film festival, we will go out there and host events around that so that we can celebrate that premiere, but also answer questions about what their experience was and use those producers and directors to also be there to offer testimonials for what it's like shooting in the area. Beyond that, a Movie Maker magazine just came out in January 2019 that Cincinnati, Ohio is in the top 10 cities worldwide for film production. We're actually number 5 on that list. So we went ahead and did some advertising with that magazine and launched that also at Sundance while we were there. So there's different formulas and there's different platforms, but the most important thing is really just making sure that we're in the forefront of the mind, because if they're not considering Ohio or know what we look like here or know what our capabilities are, it's our job to get that word out.
So Lisa, what's the next big thing to come to the area? We've heard about Hillbilly Elegy being turned into a movie, maybe directed by Ron Howard, maybe shooting in and around Middletown. The author J.D. Vance is from Kentucky, grew up in Middletown, so there's that local connection.
Yep, there are those rumors. He was in town over the summer, just kind of scouting around the area. You know, there's nothing solid to talk about yet, and we certainly hope that, you know, we would have that opportunity to host, you know, a film like that. We've also, you know, one of the things that Dayton is really known for is the documentary. So we just had two of our local filmmakers win Best Documentary Award at Sundance, Julia Reichert and Steve Bogner. They did a film called American Factory that Netflix is right now negotiating to hopefully pick up, which is all about the Fu Yao factory here in Dayton. And it's kind of a follow-up to the GM plant film that they did about 10 years ago. So we have such a rich history of documentary films as well, which certainly brings some people to the region, and all kinds of that is continuing to go on here in Dayton.
And Kristen, you've talked about series possibly exploring the area. I assume there's a few movies in the pipeline as well.
There are, but just to add to what Lisa said, you know, there is incredible talent coming out of this region. The production designer that is currently on Dry Run went to Wright State up there in Dayton.
Hannah Beechler.
And she is now she was the designer on Miles Ahead, which also shot in Greater Cincinnati and a few days up in Dayton. And now she's here on Dry Run, but she is nominated for an Oscar for Black Panther, which is really, really exciting. We also have Bub Asman, who's from the area, that was nominated and won several Oscars because he's Clint Eastwood's sound mixer. So these things are becoming more and more prevalent. The other thing I wanted to mention is a world-renowned cinematographer moved here after we wrapped the Emilio Estevez film, The Public. He fell in love with this market, went back to New York City, moved his whole family here to Greater Cincinnati. So we're starting to see more and more incredible talent being recognized out of this market.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez loves Cincinnati, and he shot that movie at the library downtown.
Absolutely, and that movie will premiere in Greater Cincinnati on March 29th at the Taft Theater, and we will be publishing more information on that. And Lisa, you need to come down because the Estevez family is from Dayton.
Yeah.
But we will host that premiere downtown Cincinnati.
And I did want to point out Hannah Beechler is nominated for an Academy Award for production design for her work on the film Black Panther. She was a student at the University of Cincinnati and Wright State. Then the Oscar-nominated film If Beale Street Could Talk features Cincinnati native Kiki Lane. We'll be talking to her in the back, about her on the back half of the show. And then, of course, you've got Hamilton that opened this week in town, and they've got the Tony Award-winning choreography from Cincinnati native Andy Blankenbuehler. So you're seeing these people come out of this area and make it into the Hollywood business. As Cincinnati and Dayton become more prominent locations for filmmaking, do you see opportunities for people who live here who want to break into film? I guess, how would you describe the infrastructure that we have in terms of filmmaking programs, writing programs, acting programs?
Well, I mean, We are building that day by day. But in fall of 2018 was the first year there's a four-year film degree program at the University of Cincinnati. And I know more recently the Art Academy is exploring more film curriculum and bringing that to the area. Also, we're starting to speak to kids younger and younger. I'm now, you know, integrating in elementary schools. I just spoke at Ross Middle School. We'll speak at SCPA because we want them to know that there are pathways to education and training and experience in these industries, because if we can get them young, then we can retain the young talent here in the area. And I think that's really important to our market. We can also attract new talent to the area and learn from that as well. But I think in the last 2 years, the fact that we have film degree programs popping up, that infrastructure is getting a lot stronger than we were maybe even 8 years ago.
And Lisa, your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. Dayton's got, you know, Wright State University's Tom Hanks Motion Picture School. And that program is getting stronger and stronger. And by having so many films in the area, it gives these students that hands-on opportunity. And it also gives their parents hope that, hey, they really can earn a living in this business. Because from a parent's perspective, you know, I think they've been hesitant over the years when somebody here in the Midwest says, you know, I want to learn to make, you know, motion pictures. And they think, oh, that's never going to happen. Well, seeing films made right here locally and having these opportunities for these students to become production assistants on these sets and move up through the system really gives them the thought that this can happen. It's not a dream. It is a great living. You know, these are the kind of jobs that give people benefits and pensions, you know, as they join the union and move on. So I think it's been a really positive outlook for our local students to know that they can have a future.
Kristen Schlottman is the executive director of the Cincinnati Film Commission, and Lisa Grigsby is the executive director of the Dayton Film Commission. I appreciate you both being down here. We're going to find out what those series are. Thanks for talking to both of us, or thanks to both of you for talking to me today.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.